the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are the Sundays of Pascha. And we celebrate Pascha until the Feast of the Ascension. But also, this Wednesday is the midweek of Pentecost. And so we're moving not just toward the fulfillment of the 40 days of Pascha, but we are also moving toward the celebration of the feast day of Pentecost. Pente meaning 50. 50 days after Pascha. Pentecost was a feast of the Jews. 50 days were marked after the feast of Passover. The seventh Sabbath was Pentecost. And that feast day was a feast that had several meanings, that it had gathered down through time, because it was, first of all, a celebration of the harvest of wheat, the gathering of the harvest. And as Christians, that meaning of the gathering of the harvest is part of the meaning of our Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the great harvest day that comes about because of all of the work of the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ. Because of the work that he did coming into the world, living life as he did, sanctifying the life of humanity, dying on a cross, arising from the dead, a harvest is coming. The harvest of the lives of all of those that have been bound by death. And that will be the Pentecost of the Christians, 50 days after Pascha. And the second meaning of the old feast had to do with the celebration of the covenant between God and Noah. The covenant that came after God cleansed the earth of the sins of mankind by purifying the earth, purifying his creation in the waters of a great flood, in which those who had abandoned him perished in the waters. And Noah was saved, and a covenant was made with him. And there is meaning from that as well that has to do with our Christian lives. We see in that flood of purification a foreshadowing of the baptism that we receive, where the lives that we might have lived without the life of God himself in us are cleansed. And then finally, the Jewish festival of Pentecost celebrated the giving of the law of Moses, the revelation of God to his people by way of his word in the law. And there is meaning there too that carries over into our Pentecost, when the life of God is poured out upon his people so that we can live our lives as they were meant to be lived, where God is revealed not by his law, but God is revealed through us. By Pentecost, God's work has been completed, and it has been made possible for us to continue his work in our own lives. God, having united himself to us, to our humanity, having destroyed death in our humanity, ascends and sends down to us the Holy Spirit of God himself upon a people who are now able to live his own divine life. And so the Christians have seen meaning that has to do with not the salvation from bondage to the Pharaoh in Egypt, but salvation from bondage to death itself in the life that has been given to us by God. Since before the time of the coming of David to Jerusalem, there had always been that pool north of where the temple would be built. And people had always come, even before the time of the Jews, to that place to await the troubling of the waters by some spirit of healing. Once the temple was built, it became the sheep's pool. just inside the sheep's gate, where sheep were brought to be sacrificed at the temple. And before being sacrificed, they were washed in that pool, and that's why it was called the sheep's pool. But as we heard this morning, at certain seasons, there was that ancient troubling of the waters and crowds of lame and blind and those who were paralyzed gathered around the pool, and the first one in the pool was healed. And there was a man who had come there who had been sick, ill for 38 years. 38 years, four decades, it's a lifetime. The man had spent his life in illness since childhood. And now there he lay, near the pool, believing that healing of his body was close, nearby, but he was unable to get there. And on a certain Jewish Pentecost, during the period, the weeks, it's called the Feast of Weeks, during that festival season, Jesus comes to the pool, and he sees the man there, and he asks him, "Do you wish to be healed?" As is so many times the case with Jesus when he comes to someone, there is a transformation that is either going to happen or is possible that could happen, and it depends on the person. Because when Jesus comes to him, the man is thinking in terms of getting into that pool and being healed. And of course, he says, "Yes, I want to be healed, but I don't have anyone to put me into the water. And I'm so slow that by the time I get there, it's too late." And he's probably hoping that maybe this man, a kind person, will take him and put him into the pool. But when Jesus approaches someone, especially those that we read of during this season, he has something more in mind than what that person has in mind. The healing that Jesus speaks of goes beyond the healing of the body. But he sees something in the man, something perhaps of hope and faith in God. And he tells the man, "Take up your pallet and walk." And the man takes up his bed that he had laid out there before the pool, and he is able to walk away in good health. There is a mystery here, because it seems that, as so many times with Jesus, there is more going on than just a healing. It is somehow a foreshadowing, as Christians see it when they hear these words, of the healing that God has come to make upon all mankind. The healing that Christ has come into the world to make for all of us, to heal our broken humanity, our humanity in bondage to death. Because there are those strange words that Jesus gives to the man later on when they meet and the man finds out who it was who healed him. Jesus tells the man, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you." What worse thing could happen to this man than to be ill for a lifetime? What is this about sin? If, as Christians see it, this healing at the pool is a foreshadowing of baptism, we might understand and apply Jesus' words to our own lives as Christians. When we are baptized, immediately after, a mark is made on us, the mark of the cross. And it is in the cross that we find death of a kind like Christ and resurrection of a kind like his. A rebirth into a life with God's life in us. And we say the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. There is something that Christ comes into the world in order to give to us that goes beyond merely the kind of healing of the body that those at the sheep's gate pool were seeking. And it seems as though there is a foreshadowing here of Pentecost and the healing that will come about as the final fruit, the harvest of all of Christ's work, including his death and resurrection. We die to a life that we might have lived without the life of God in us. We are baptized, die to that life, and arise into a life that we were meant to live, with God's life in us, and able to live that life because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that is poured out on all humankind on the feast day of Pentecost. Rather than a temporary healing of the body, where death in the end takes everything from us again, rather than that kind of healing, Christ came into the world, and although he did heal the bodies of many, that is not the healing that he came in order ultimately to accomplish. He came to heal us of the disease of death that takes all of us in the end. Death, the reason that we miss the mark in fear, living our lives in a world that is cancerous with the presence of death through everything. That death itself must be healed. We are baptized into his life, and when we arise from baptism and received the Holy Spirit itself, we arise into a life where death cannot touch us. And if we were to apply Jesus' words to that man to ourselves, then we'd be able to understand. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. What worse thing than to be ill for a lifetime? What is worse than that is if we were to be healed of the power of death over us, to arise into a life in Christ, and then sin and abandon that life. Abandon the life of God in us. That would be worse. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. Worse than losing the health of the body in this world is the losing of the divine life of God in us. When we think of the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of confession, we have a difficult time, oftentimes, seeing the relationship between our entrance into the life of Christ and coming to the sacrament of repentance, the sacrament. And we are told it is a renewal of your baptism, but it seems a formal thing to us. And the reality of the fact is that as we live the lives in the world that God has made it possible for us to live, lives not dominated by the fear of death, but struggling in our spiritual lives to remain faithful to him and to live his life in us. We fail and fall short and see that we have done things and lived in a way that abandons that life. The possibility of restoring the purification of our baptism into that life and our arising to continue that life is all that stands between us and something worse happening to us. Having been healed by God, by the power of his crucifixion, resurrection, sending of the Holy Spirit, and our baptism into that life, are abandoning that life by the way that we live in the world that is not the life of Christ in us. Held out to us is this return to the baptismal waters of purification, this resurrection again, in the purity and holiness of divine life. And that's why we go to the sacrament of repentance, to repent lest we lose the life of God in us, the eternal life that we are created to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.